punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Yep, we had a crazy weekend, crazy weather last night, and we got currently with the local weather, we're at 73 degrees. The wind is out of the north-northwest, 4, gusting up to a big old 7 miles an hour, and the Nathan Brewer dew point is 42 degrees. Let's check out some of the local list. Our listening area looks like it's pretty consistent everywhere. Hollis is 75, Eric 73, Cheyenne 71. It is 73 at Hobart. The hot spot in our listening area is Mangum at 74. They're always our hot spot. It's somewhere between them and Altus, always the hot spot. Looks like the coolest spot in Oklahoma is in the northeastern corner of the state at Miami, 61 degrees. Looks like most of our listening areas, mainly to the east and south, everybody got some rain. There was a streak starting at my place down there west of Willow through my farm at Carter all the way up to Foss Lake that there was just a black donut there. It wasn't even measurable, but anyway, so I seen lots of cotton headed probably towards Pampa. I seen them on 152 round bales, modules. Looks like somebody's getting after it with their cotton harvest, and good luck with that. It's that time of the year, and peanut harvest is underway. I helped Chad and his dad down south of Carter in the Willow area. We did some peanut harvesting yesterday, and then I went out to the field last night to about 11:30 to try to get some peanut hay bale, because it's got to be pretty damp to bale. But for first time ever, it was too wet to bale. I baled a couple of bales, and it felt like balls of Play-Doh in my baler, so I quit. Too wet, but peanut hay needs to be pretty wet to get it up, and so it'll stay together. But last night it was a little wet, but this weekend, hope you guys had a great weekend over the weekend, and it was quite the ball game Saturday with Texas and OU. That was an exciting game to watch after the halftime. But anyway, OSU didn't play, but guess where they're going this weekend? They're headed to Austin, Texas to take on the really upset, mad Texas Longhorns. So hope the Cowboys come out on top on that and see how that goes. But I got some do-good stories here for you to start out with, and a big it's got to do with our 4-H and FFA kids, and it's very important. By the way, the text line, the KCO Ag text line is open, 580-225-9697. I'm going to talk about some kids that did good at the – one kid that did good at the Tulsa Stock Show, and then the Beckham County 4-H shooting team, they did it again up at El Reno this weekend. I'm going to talk about that here in a minute. But if you had, I'm going to mention somebody every day this week. And then next week, Jancy Ripto, my partner in crime here on the radio, she just got back from Tulsa State Fair, and she's catching up, I'm sure, on schoolwork right now. And then they're leaving to go to the Royal in Kansas City Friday, I believe. So she'll be, when she gets back from Kansas City next week, we're going to talk about all the people in our listening area. And looking at the report at the Tulsa State Fair, there's kids did really well and participated in the Tulsa State Fair from Hollis to Sentinel to Weatherford to up Arnett. So we'll touch on each one of those next couple weeks. But if somebody's got somebody that did really good or did just participated in the Tulsa State Fair, text into that and I'll announce it on the radio. Well, congratulations goes out to Blake Miller. He ended up with the champion Simmental heifer at the Tulsa State Fair. Blake is a senior here at Elk City. I know him, his dad real well, and his grandpa and his grandma. But he did really well, and that heifer was actually raised and sold by Walter Cattle Company right here in Elk City. I had Kyle on here, I think it's been 2 or 3 weeks ago or longer maybe. But anyway, congratulations to Blake. And congratulations to Kyle Walter. Job well done for the Walter Cattle Company. Now we got the 4-H kids from Beckham County. They ended, here's a story that their coach announced. It was a way to end the state 4-H shotgun shooting sports season. They were state runner-up skeet champion team. But a big congratulations goes out to Bregan Barnett and Leighton Freeze for qualifying for the Oklahoma team and will compete for national honors in Grand Island, Nebraska next summer, June of 2022, as they finish 5th and 6th in the state in all three shooting disciples. And they had a great season to watch them Beckham County 4-H kids grow and develop their skills and achieve state recognition and score personal best. They had the biggest win of the year was, according to the coach, was when an Oklahoma City Gun Club member that was scoring our kids walked up to me as a coach and complimented our kids for being respectful, courteous, and genuine. And they give her great hope for the future. So congratulations on that. And also a big congratulations to Aiden Wood in his first 25 straight in an ATA redshirt event. He also was short yardage handicap champion at the National Trap Shooting Day event in El Reno. Great job, Aiden. Great job to all of you. And then Brigham's mom and dad posted on social media, and I wanted to read this. She reached a big goal today. She made the national 4-H team to represent Oklahoma. She had to take an average of her trap, skeet, and sporting clay scores to determine this. Oklahoma takes their top four shooters to the Grand Island, Nebraska event next summer that I mentioned earlier. And it's only a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity because you can only qualify to go once. So they did great. Brigham and Leighton, there's only four on the team and two of them right here from Merritt. And so congratulations to that. And, man, you guys just did wonderful. I appreciate it. You guys representing Western Oklahoma with firepower. That's what it is. But it's and people commenting on how courteous and nice you guys was. Way to represent our county out here. Also, just got a text in. Karch Carlson had champion Burke Bear. Raised by the Hartman Show Pigs of Sayre. So congratulations on that, too. So it was between the state fair and the shooting and the weather and peanut harvest going on, wheat sowing and rice sowing going on. It was a busy weekend this weekend. So congratulations again. Well, when we get back, I'll have the grain updates for you, grain reports. And it's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
We had commercial cattle, and as a commercial producer, you're always looking for a place to buy bulls that are going to work well for your program. And as we struggled to do that, we decided to raise our own. And so we started producing the traits that we were looking for to buy in bulls. Lori White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Benji White, B&L Red Angus. blredangus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
We learned in grade school 1 plus 1 equals 2 and 2 plus 2 equals 4. So what does quality feed equal? Results you can be proud of. It's simple math with a little common sense. Barnes Feed Service in Hobart, Oklahoma has done the math and mixed years of common sense into their feeds so you'll get the results you deserve. And remember, their name ends with service, something they take pride in every day. See their ads in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale at Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Register at lmaauction.com or download the LMA Ringside app. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and we do appreciate it.
Every trust is a little bit different. Some of them, those assets may need to grow because they've got to take care of somebody for a lot of years. Sometimes those assets need to maintain, or they need to just support a certain lifestyle. There's lots of different objectives for trusts, and what we do is we determine what the objective is for each trust, and then we do our very best to manage the assets in that trust to achieve that objective. I'm Nan Shiblum, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust in Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Well, looks like you guys better get ready for another round of weather tomorrow evening. It's going to start in the northwest this time and come at us instead of in the southwest and come at us. So this is a crazy weather pattern. Who would have guessed there'd be tornadoes in October? I think I heard 6 tornadoes touched down in Oklahoma last night, and it's still going on. I looked at the radar this morning. It looked like a hurricane in northeastern Oklahoma, that eye going around swirling up there by Kansas City. So we got some crazy weather, and it looks like it's just going to be in the 70s for the rest of the week till Friday. Things cool down, and it's going to be pretty chilly when we get up Saturday morning. But 74 degrees is our temperature right now. Winds are still out of the north, northwest at 4, gusting up to 8 miles an hour. So I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden forecast for you here last part of the hour. So stay tuned for that. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction is going on right now over at Clinton. I stopped by the Elk City Livestock Auction Friday. My brain was kind of malfunctioning there. Friday, and seeing if anybody purchased my bull, and it looks like from the price I got compared to what everybody was getting, my bull that my neighbor down south, Mr. Stacy Fite, found for me, had a Jimmy Clark fit in the ring, so I'm sure they weren't impressed with that. But I had a bull that had a little blood pressure problem. Let's call it a blood pressure problem. Well, I seen this deal on social media this morning, and I thought of what's his name over there? Delhi. Oh, Bill Dance. I thought of him. Anybody knows who, if you don't know who Bill Dance is, it's Brian Silk, but these two men are out ice fishing at one of their favorite fishing holes, just fishing quietly and drinking beer, almost silently, so as not to scare the fish. So Brian goes, "Hey, I think I'm going to divorce my wife. She hasn't spoken to me in over 2 months." Well, Jimmy continuously to slowly sip his beer. Then thoughtfully, he tells Brian, he said, "Brian, you better think that over pretty hard. Women like that are hard to find. There you go, Mr. Silk. That's for getting smart with me this morning in the store. Cash grain prices right now, wheat, hard red winter wheat is at $6.94 a bushel. Corn is at $5.29. Milo is at $5.32. Soybeans are $11.67. Soybeans took a pretty good hit there the week before last, and they're not recovering very good. It's down 10 cents from Friday, it looks like. But grain and soybean futures, it says here they're higher, but we're narrowly higher in overnight trading as investors square positions ahead of tomorrow's world agriculture supply and demand estimates. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is expected by analysts to forecast domestic corn production at 14.973 billion bushels, according to a survey by Rutgers. If that comes to be, that would be down from the September forecast of 14.996 billion bushels. Soybean output likely will come in at 4.415 billion bushels, the survey said. That would be up from 4.374 bushels forecast in last month's report. Wheat futures led gainers overnight as a speculation that importers will sink U.S. supplies. Russia over the weekend said its export taxes on wheat and other agricultural products. The duties have been implemented to ensure ample domestic supply to keep food prices low. The Canadian wheat crop is pretty much in the bin with harvest weather turning more favorable as harvest approached. In the U.S., the harvest rolls on with about 29% of the corn crop was harvested while 34% of the soybeans were collected, according to the USDA. The agency is scheduled to release its weekly crop progress report today. Wheat futures for delivery, December delivery, rose 4 cents to $7.38 a bushel on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures added 3.5 to $7.41 a bushel. Corn futures for December delivery added 1 cent to $5.31.5 a bushel. Soybean futures for November delivery was up 2.5 cents to $12.45.5 a bushel overnight. Soy meal rose 80 cents to 319.50 a short ton, while soy oil gained 0.24 cents to 61.75 a pound. The USDA is preparing to release its October World Agriculture Supply and Demand today, or tomorrow. Their weekly reports are coming out today, which included an updated look at the demand. Currently, actual exports are still running 26% ahead of the same time period from last year. And with higher commodity prices, bulk export values are up 60%, according to the USDA. He says the sales increase is being led by corn, where the export value has increased 122% and volumes up 53%. Soybeans are valued at $25.3 billion, up 68% from this time last year. Cotton exports were up $6.1 billion, up from 12% from last year. Wheat exports are a mixed bag with values up 15% from last year, but export volume is down 4%. While the current export shipment pace and values are strong, export sales continue to wane, which has one University of Illinois economist concerned. In the month of September, which is a sort of the time to really make hay in terms of export sale, that month was really slow. Some of that had to do with the issues in the Gulf, where we've seen the slowness of movements in terms of just making export sales. We saw a really slow down in pace, and that means we've got to kind of pick up somewhere sooner or later before the end of the marketing year. Well, you must have forgot we had a hurricane down there. So anyway, money managers raised their net long positions or bets on higher prices in corn to the highest level in 5 weeks, while cutting bullish positions in soybeans last week. Investors bumped their net longs in corn to 243,597 contracts in the 7 days ending last week. That's up from 235,044 contracts last week, the week before. And soybeans, meanwhile, speculators held a net 47,145 future contracts last week. And that was down from 57,000 contracts the week before. Investors were also more bullish on hard red winter wheat, raising their net long positions to 49,217 future contracts last week. That's up from 45,600 the week before. So it looks like everything's getting to roll in the grains market. Well, we had some, there's a lot of rain yesterday and the day before, flood warnings and flash floods everywhere in Kansas and western Missouri. This morning also, heavy rainfalls and winds up to 45 miles an hour are expected to continue this morning into the afternoon in those areas. Storms are expected to redevelop late tomorrow afternoon, this time in Kansas and western Oklahoma. Any storm that develops will likely be severe from areas west of I-35, having the greatest risk. Large hail, damaging winds, and even a couple tornadoes will be possible for stronger storms. Well, I was talking to my father-in-law, my favorite one, just right before on the show, and they got over 2 inches of rain up by Billings and Garber, and it pounded the ground and came down hard, and freshly sowed wheat grains were not looking very good. So they're probably going to have to do some resowing in that area, and we don't need that out here. We got a lot of wheat and rye and Truticale that's up right now, but we don't need no pounding rain. But temperatures across the region and would be generally warmer than normal, with 4 to 6 degrees above normal common, in contrast to last week. Most of the region did see some beneficial rains, and that's great through the Oklahoma and Texas panhandle. So Oklahoma has seen some improvements in the drought status. There's some areas actually just northeast of here where it's in the red. So hopefully these rains last night kind of knocked that down and got some ponds full, and won't have to worry about it going into the winter weather, because I need some rain west of Willow in the worst way. I got 11 ponds on my place, and only one of them has got rain in it, or water. We need some rain. We need some rain. Well, when I come back, we're going to talk cattle. You're listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, October 1st. 1,490 head were sold. 21 head of steers at 446 brought 170.50. 6 at 508 brought 134. 15 at 604 brought 141.50. 16 at 635 brought 145. 5 at 642 brought 130. 8 at 676 brought 129. 17 head of heifers at 380 brought 147. 20 at 488 brought 135.50. 3 at 597 brought 130. 9 at 624 brought 130.50. 16 at 661 brought 127.75. 5 at 811 brought 125. Butcher cows were 25 to 76.50. Bred cows 175 to 14.10. Butcher bulls 40 to 90. Pairs brought 885 to 16.50. Elk City Livestock Auction, South Highway 6 in Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley IconX. Any brand of pivot. One connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
74 degrees. Still, now the wind's out of the northeast instead of the northwest. 5 miles an hour, gusting up to a whopping 8 miles an hour. I'll have your Holman Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast in my next segment coming up. This was hot off the press here. I needed to read to you guys. As backlogs of U.S. ports and climbing shipping rates plague the supply chain, new data shows shipping rates between the United States and China are dropping by more than 50% in just a month. The data provided by the digital freight forwarding company shows China-U.S. spot freight for shipping a 40-foot container from China to Los Angeles dropped by $9,000. That was $20,000 last year when I read a story on, or last month when I read a story on that. That's a 51% drop between September and October. Experts say China is slowing production due to a power crisis and the off-season's coming into view, but issues remain to a growing backlog of unfilled orders. Earlier this week in the Ag Report, the port official said strong American consumer demand has continued unabated for more than a year, as the Port of Los Angeles has seen a 30% increase in cargo volume so far this year. That's as exports from the Port of Los Angeles dropped 23% in August. It's impacting agriculture in the United States because of record high shipping rates. That coupled with the fact that some shipping lines are working to get empty containers back to factories in Asia as quick as possible. Well, there's one way to solve that problem right there. Make it in the USA and you don't have to worry about importing the crap. But we need to export our crops. I realize that. But during the pandemic, did anybody notice? I've noticed that when you order something, whether it's from Amazon or wherever you order something, they couldn't guarantee you at normal shipping rates when it'd be there. It might be a week, might be 4 weeks, it might be 6 weeks. But if you'll pay them $25.59 instead of $5.59, they'll guarantee it the next day. You talk about a racket going on. That's what that was all about. But anyway, that was hot off the press, so I thought I would share that with you. Here's something else that came up today. As employers across the country continue to weigh vaccine mandates, the White House executive order signed in September will require all USDA employees to be vaccinated by November 22nd. The mandate impacts those based in Washington as well as county farm service agency office and employees, including elected county committee members who are paid. According to a letter sent to all FSA county committee and state board members, the vaccination requirement includes all FSA state and county committee members and advisors, subject to such exemptions only required as by law. The letter signed by the USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack states USDA employees will be required to reveal more information about vaccine status, including proof of vaccination with full vaccination status reached by November 22, 2021. Dr. Francis Collins, director of the National Institutes of Health, recently spoke about this mandate. November 22nd, federal employees have to be fully vaccinated by that point, which means they had to get started well before that to get those two doses of Pfizer or Moderna or J&J. I run an organization with 45,000 federal employees, he said, and contractors, and we've let them know it's time to get started so you can show your evidence of full coverage by November 22nd. The letter stated the timeline, saying October 11th is when employees will need to have their first shot. October, that's from Moderna, and Pfizer is October 18th. Oh, boy. And during a hearing at the House Ag Committee Thursday, Valsack was pressed on this issue. He told the committee that Biden administration vaccine mandate will not cause FSA offices to close or impact the service that farmers receive. When asked about it, this was his answer. Well, there are no provisions in the proposal. Oh, he said there is provisions in the proposal for religious exemptions and for health exemptions. And so we will certainly respect those. I will anticipate and expect we do what we need to do to keep the offices open by the end of the day. We don't want to necessarily reduce the service to the people who need the service. So I don't anticipate we're actually going to see a significant number of closed offices that would significantly reduce our capacity to serve farmers and ranchers in your state and other states. And so that was a story I wanted to talk to you guys about just a second, because it's going to affect us. I already heard stories about some of the USDA meat inspectors in Oklahoma, Oregon, Washington that are not going to get vaccinated, so they won't be allowed on the job. So that's just going to be another holdup in our meat inspections. I don't know what kind of problems it's going to cause down the line. It'll cause some problems, but I don't want to specify on it because it ain't my cup of tea. But you guys need to just pray that something happens and this situation gets all worded out. Well, before I go to my last break, I want to remind you guys of what's going on this week. It's a busy week. Lacey Swope, Channel 9 meteorologist, will be on tomorrow. Maybe we can get some first-hand updates on what's going to hit us tomorrow evening, because it looks like it's going to hit us with a full force. Jordan Cook from Cordell will be on Wednesday. She is on the Oklahoma Beef Council. She raises cattle, and her husband does too, and he's on the Oklahoma Ag Council. So they're going to be in the studio with me Wednesday, and we're going to be talking cattle. So don't miss that one. Then Addie Schneeberger will be on Thursday, and she will be talking about the FFA Creed contest that she's been participating in and kicking butt in for the last couple of weeks. And then we're going to talk to her some about some of her stock show adventures. So that will be pretty good. So, and then don't forget, next week, hopefully you'll have the guy in from OSU and a guy in from Texas A&M to talk about carbon market and carbon market agreements. So if you guys have been thinking about the carbon market, that might be one of the shows you really don't want to miss, because these guys know what's happening. And don't forget, or please remember, I got to renew that, remember that we're going to have the youth season this weekend with deer season. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit here in a minute. And then I think I'm trying to get Lieutenant James Edwards to come in tomorrow after Lacey to talk about the upcoming youth deer season. So it's going to be a fun weekend. Well, when I get back, we'll talk some cattle, some weather, whatever else is laying out here. So anyway, you're listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, October 5th. We sold 513 cows, bulls, and kids. Thursday, October the 7th, we sold 3,580 kids and feeders for a total of 4,093 cows for the week. Better killing cows, steady to two higher. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 71 to 77. 10 cows bring 40 up to 62, with the bulls bringing 80 up to 92. 2 to 4 year old bred cows brought 1,250 to 1,425, with their 5 to 8 year old bred cows 750 to 1,200. 9 and older bred cows, 650 to 835. 2 to 4-year-old pairs, 1125 to 1425. On our feeder cattle, 2 to 6 higher on our feeders, 4 to 8 higher on our kids. 3 to 350 steers, 192 to 213, 4 to 450, 162 to 173, 5 to 550, 158 to 166, 6 to 650, 140 and a half up to 161, whether 7 to 750 steers, 154 to 158, 8 to 850, 153 to 158, and our 950 to 1,000 pound steers, 137 to 146. On our heifers, 3 to 350 weight heifers, 165 to 176, 4 to 450, 150 to 159, 5 to 550, 149 to 151, 6 to 650, 132 to 146, 7 to 750, 126 and a half to 145 and a half, 8 to 850, 128 to 130, and our 900 to 970 weight heifers, 126 to 135. For this Tuesday, October the 12th, we will have 65 bred cows, 3 to 5 years old, the red to black. We've got 5 Simmental herd bulls off the same deal and 15 Simmental heavy bred cows. Plus, we have 80 bred cows off another deal, 3 to older, with a lot of those cows being 3 to 6 years old, blacks and red. Give us a call. Remember, feeders were 2 to 6 higher, kids 4 to 8 higher. Thanksgiving, Jerry 9, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
Hi, I'm James with Western Equipment. Listen up, any high school junior and senior, and any parent or grandparent of any high school junior or senior. By your junior and senior year, it's time to start planning for a job. Right now, if you don't know what you want to do, check out the John Deere AgTech program through Western Equipment. It's a two-year program, and afterwards, we guarantee you a solid job at one of our 21 locations in Texas, Oklahoma, or New Mexico. Now is the time. Visit west-equip.com/careers for more information to apply.
It's so convenient for farmers and ranchers to get what you need in one place. The Wheeler General Store is the do-it-best hardware store that carries vet supplies to doctor your animals, high-pro feed, also master hand milling and smart lick tubs. Delivery is available if you need it. And at Wheeler Ag, right there on site, they've got dry fertilizer application with blending capabilities. Wheeler General Store and Wheeler Ag on Highway 152, a mile east of the four-way stop in Wheeler, Texas.
You can also find the Wheeler General Store on Facebook and Instagram.
This hour's weather is brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Complete nutrition for every animal. That's what you'll find at High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Check them out on Facebook and online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Woo, it's Monday. Hey, I forgot to tell you guys, I got my high gear belt up yesterday morning. I started about 6 o'clock, and it just bailed perfectly until I got it all done. Landlord was all happy. He was busy hauling it out while I was changing the oil in the tractor. And then I got my phone call from Chad so I could go help him bail up some peanut hay. I'm not going to lie to you, I'm not 25 anymore, but yesterday I climbed up on the front of that peanut trailer and I jumped in there like a soldier jumping in a foxhole to get away from a grenade just for the fun of it, to go back there and get some stuff pushed down. My knee paid for it. And last night when I went over there to bale hay, pushing in on that clutch on that tractor, I think my eyes were just sweating. I don't think it was tears, but my eyes were sweating. That sucker hurt, and I got home. I limped in, rolled into bed, and I thought, man, it's going to be a long week with a hurt knee. And I got up this morning, and it feels great. And I don't know what that – I'm just getting old, I guess. But our Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast right now, currently we're at 76 degrees. Winds out of the north, 4 miles an hour, gusting up to 8 miles an hour. Today's high will be 79. Tomorrow, high of 78 with a 40% chance of thunderstorms. Tomorrow evening, 54 for a low. Thunderstorms likely because we got a 70% chance of rain tomorrow evening. Wednesday, 77. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, 52 degrees. Thursday, 20% slight chance of rain, high of 77. Thursday night, 30% chance of rain. And Friday, a high of 66 with a 30% chance of rain. We are in the fall classic. The weather is it's changing. So I looked out our backyard the other day. It needs mowed again. The trees still all got leaves on them. And I don't know, I just hadn't got fired up to go bow hunting yet. But I'm getting there. I'm going to get some trail cameras set out here pretty quick. Well, there's a strong demand for beef. And speaking of a strong demand for beef, I got something I want to share with you guys. Monty Tucker with the Tucker Family Beef has some half beef available right now for custom cut immediately. Corn finished with prime as the goal. If you want to, his meat is great. That beef that they raise out there is some of the best around. We got lots of people that raise beef around, but Monty, they do, that's what he likes to do. He wants to feed them, and he wants the consumer to be happy, and you should be able to cut those T-bones, all except for the bone part. I don't think you'll be able to cut it with a fork. So anyway, give him a call if you're interested, 580-515-4477, or you can find Tucker Family Beef on Facebook or Monty. And hey, Monty, if you're listening, congratulations, you and Paul Hightower. You guys did a wonderful job. You're doing a wonderful job. The last 3 years, you put Beckham County and 4-H and these high school shooting teams around here on the map. So congratulations on being the coach for them. Strong demand is the United States is the number one beef producer on the planet, supplying 75% to 80% of the world's high quality form fed beef supply. U.S. Choice and Prime Beef is the global standard. Consumers around the world love our products because of its safeness and quality. There's a lot of trust in that U.S. brand of beef. The beef industry will have a net trade balance of more than $2 billion in 2021, which accounts for nearly about $400 a head. When combined with pork and poultry, the U.S. will export about $19 billion pounds this year. On a per capita basis, for every man, woman, and child in the United States, that's 46 pounds per person. You guys know how I like numbers, so that's why I'm reading this. Beef exports are expected to be up 15%, around 3.5 billion pounds. Halfway around the world, countries like Japan, the largest market for the U.S. beef, South Korea, and China are driving the increase. And I got to open this back up here. Beef exports are strong as usual. U.S. red meat exports closed the first half of the year on a strong note, according to the data released by the USDA and compiled by the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Although volume and value eased from the enormous totals posted in April and May, export value was still the highest on record for the month of June, and the first half shipments established a record pace for both beef and pork exports. June exports totaled 112,249 metric tons of beef, up 42% from a year ago when exports were still being hampered by the COVID-related shutdown in production. Export values was $804.4 million, up 68% from a year ago, and the third highest on record after April and May of this year. First half exports from reached 787,000 metric tons, up 18% from a year ago, valued at $4.64 billion, up 28% compared to 2018. The record year for U.S. beef exports, first half results were up 6% in volume and 15% in value. Beef exports were led by an exceptional performance in South Korea, rapid growth in China, strong demand in Japan and Taiwan, as a rebound in shipments to Mexico, Central and South America continue. Well, deer season is upon us, and I'm going to save the youth deer hunt coming up this weekend for later tomorrow. But the arrival of the fall hunting season is upon us. Archery season is in full swing, And muzzleloader season is coming up October 23rd and will close October 31st. During the fall of 2020, an estimated 74,090 hunters participated in the deer muzzleloader season. That was last year. The Oklahoma Department of Wildlife Conservation notes that last year, 2020, muzzleloader hunters reported a total take of 17,414 deer were harvested during muzzleloader season, and it was the highest harvest by this method since 2012. Muzzleloader hunters accounted for about 13.8% of the state's total deer harvest last year. With the intervention of inline muzzleloaders by the late Tony Knight back in the late 1980s to early 1990s, it certainly turned up the heat on big game animals. While modern-day muzzleloaders using 209 shotgun primers, powder, pellets, and white hots are more reliable than flintlocks and black powder used by our forefathers, they also are more costly. There is now a Remington model that is built on a 700 action that now boosts an effective range out to 300 yards. Well, I know a guy around here that can outdo that one, and he does a good job building them. There are a number of inlines on the market that range from $200 all the way up to, for the basic package, all the way up to $3,000 and beyond for a custom setup. Whatever you do, there's no going without a quality scope on your firearm and time spent on the gun range sighting it in. So, you know, that's coming upon us. So you guys need to figure out what you're doing and get it all practiced up, and we can go from there. Let me see here. Ag loan demand continues to decline. Demand for agriculture loans in Texas, Oklahoma, New Mexico, and Arkansas continued to decline in the third quarter of this fiscal year amid favorable conditions for cattle and crop producers, according to a Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas survey of bankers in this region. About 23.5% of the respondents to the survey said they're seeing less demand for loans, while 22.5% said they're seeing more demand. Demand for agriculture loans continued to decline, with the loan demand index registering in its 24th quarter in the negative territory. Loan renewals or extensions fell for the third quarter in a row, while the rate of loan repayment continued to increase. Loan volume decreased across most major categories compared with a year ago, except for operating loans, farm real estate, and machinery loans. About 31% of the bankers said that the amount of funds available for agriculture loans had increased, and the remainder said full availability was unchanged. Ranch land, irrigated land, and dry land values all rose in the third quarter, according to the Fed Bank. The anticipated trend in farmland values index grew in the third quarter to reach yet another historical high, suggesting respondents expect farmland values to keep increasing. The credit standards index fell for the fourth quarter, consecutive quarter, but remained in positive territory. The continued positive value of index indicates furthering tightening on station standards on the net. Well, of course, with people selling land in Iowa for $26,000 an acre, something's got to go up. Well, this story I got here for you says, I think I'm turning into my parents. I now comment on the price of things. Over the past year, I found myself saying phrases such as, I remember when this used to cost this or that. When I was growing up, we could buy it for that. Well, the velocity of these statements are becoming top of mind tells me either I'm getting old or something is changing, and quickly. It might be both scenarios. Inflation has become a pandemic reality. According to the Labor Department, consumer prices for August jumped 5%. Meanwhile, producer prices rose at their fastest annual pace on record, 8.3% higher in August for producer prices in August compared to the same month a year ago. On the food front, ag products such as meat, poultry, fish, and eggs are up nearly 16% since August of 2019. Globally, the situation is worse, according to the Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO. Food prices are up 40% over the past 15 months, is the biggest gain since what became known as the Arab Spring in 2010 and 11, when rapidly rising food prices led to economic and political unrest across Asia, the Middle East, and Africa. FAO reports, adjusted for inflation, food is more expensive now than almost any time in the past 60 years. It's not just food, as fuel, inputs, equipment, vehicles, etc. go up. Anybody see that price of diesel at the pump over the weekend? I was fueling up when the lady come out and says, pay up or it's going up. Soon as I hung the fuel pump up, it went up 25% on diesel. Supply chains are sluggish and local restaurant and store closures are becoming a common occurrence. It's enough to make the middle-aged whippersnapper pine for good old days of 2% to 3% inflation and $2.50 a gallon on gasoline. While we don't know how long these shipping shenanigans are going to last, one thing I know for sure is the years of well-studied observations of my elders. I make their morning cup of joe, and what goes up stays up. Expenses only seem to travel one direction. And it's a true fact. Hay wrap, for example. I bought some rolls this morning, and it hasn't gone up a lot, but the finding it is what they were telling me. It's been just, you know, the hay wraps stuck out in those containers out there at LA, and they can't, you know, they can only get so much hay wrap. And some other places got some hay wrap, some of them don't, but it's become a problem. That's just one thing. Parts, the whole nine yards. But our commodity prices are slowly creeping up, so there's a bright light in our future, maybe, as long as inflation doesn't keep messing us around here. But anyway, so well, join me tomorrow with Lacey and Lieutenant James Edwards from the Wildlife Department will be on. Jordan Cook Wednesday, and Addie Snayberg will be here Thursday. You guys have a great day, and God bless.
I actually kind of like it.
KEZO, Elk City.
A surprise in a mass shooting case.